empty room, voiceless crew at the edge of the moon, the empty room, nothing is in it,
so to me, this race now with politics is coming down to more about the rigging of the system than it is about Trump versus Biden, because both of them can be amazingly awful. But at the same time, like, I have my side and everyone has theirs, but I don't like the rigging aspect. And I think now that's the big thing. And we're going to talk about it a little bit here at the Empty Room Podcast, and along with many other things. It's episode 48. I am Scott, and with me today is John. Welcome to the show, John.
Hello again.
And we're going to dive through all the incredible things that happened in the past week, including my thought on the matter that, hey, it's the rigging of the election, or what appears to be the rigging of all the things that go into the election.
Well, let's not forget, Trump won a rigged election last time.
That's true. You know? That's true. But man, some of the things that are happening now are just so over the top that it makes me blush.
I'm not sure if rigging is the right term.
Yeah, it's the wrong word.
I feel like the table has been set so that no matter what happens, people can cry, you know, people can contest it.
So it's like
everybody gets to cry foul.
So it's like the South Park episode back in the day when it was when you had the redneck hick conservatives and then you had the liberal weenies on the other side, and Cartman goes back in time and visits the founding fathers and asks them what the heck is going on, and really the answer that they came up with was, we made it so that everyone can have their cake and eat it too, no matter what the result is. You can cry foul, you can cry shit, you can cry whatever you want, but you have your cake and eat it too, and then once the election cycle's over, you get back to your normal, dastardly, awful lives.
I really wish that was actually the truth. That would make this so much better. I think there'd be less fear and trepidation in the world if that was what we taught in a civics class in school.
The song was a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll.
I remember that. Yeah, like, wasn't that 100? Yeah, their 100th episode or something like that.
It was about have your cake and eat it too. That's what America's all about, no matter what your viewpoint is. But anyway, let's get on the way the show works, and most of you, most of our listeners already have a know, but if we're adding news, let's talk about the fact that we start off with what's going on in the world today, then we do the semi-famous Pope Watch, we hit you with the ridiculous after that, and then we finish with questions to ponder. So we will begin with the what's going on in the world today. I think the first story I want to talk about, John, is the firing of a young woman, which is tough today, you know, in COVID America. Getting fired stinks. And this poor woman was fired. She was an anchor for the news in Boston. And she was fired by the station because she appeared as an extra, or actually a little bit more than an extra, in an Adam Sandler movie, the new one called Hubie Halloween. And she was dressed as Harley Quinn, Joker's part-time love interest. And apparently that did not go well with the station, and she has to hit the bricks. What's your feeling on that?
I'm amazed that this is news. So, hold on. They fired her because she dressed up like Harley Quinn. Okay, here's my question.
Yeah.
Did she pull it off?
Yeah, she looked good.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean,
I'm a big Harley Quinn fan. I think it's a very, you know, as most will talk about, I think, if they're being honest, the men love the crazy. And you don't want to settle down
love
with the
love
crazy.
Love and fear it, yeah.
You don't want to settle down with the crazy, but
you want to dip your toes in the stream for a weekend, maybe.
You want to take a gander, and she pulled it off well. She seems like a sweetheart. Now, she actually came out and said that in her contract there were certain stipulations that said she couldn't do certain things, and this was one of them, appear in a movie, appear in something in terms of media other than the Boston station, which I don't know. I think it was WABC 7 or something like that. But
this is the War of the Worlds effect.
Yeah.
So, and it, while it probably doesn't really apply to this situation, there are actually rules kind of on the books to keep media personalities from portraying media personalities in TV and movie. Because let's just say you've got a high-profile media personality who is legitimately always reading the news. You're flipping through the channels and you come across the a movie where that person is reporting on the end of the world.
Right, right.
So there are rules for that. That's what, but that's also why you could see people like Rush Limbaugh is allowed to be in a movie because, you know, he's a little more bombastic. Right. Who was that? Larry King. Larry King was still allowed to do movies because they weren't full media. They were opinions.
But she was a station. She was a.
She worked anchor. At the station, yeah, so maybe so, yeah. She must have had some kind of stipulation saying don't do this.
Right.
She probably would have made more money dressing up as Harley Quinn and going to a strip club.
Well, I don't even think we need to go there. But
I'm just saying. I mean, like, if it was a money thing, that like, there were options.
I think she liked being an anchor, and I think she's devastated that it happened. But you know, at the end of the day, if that stipulation was in her contract, and what are you going to do?
You got to go. You got to go. I mean, it sucks. Maybe, you know, had she read the news as Harley Quinn, maybe that would have saved her job.
Right.
You know, I think I would have tuned in, and I'm not even from there. But suddenly, I'd like to know what's going on in Rochester.
It's amazing how certain things
oh, no, not Rochester,
pique but. Your interest up in Boston. Staying with the entertainment news for a little bit and what's going on in the world today, the surprising return of Dexter. Did you hear about this?
No, I did
Showtime
not.
Showtime has a green light. Another season of Dexter. It'll be 10 episodes. Dexter will return. If you were interested in that show, it's a massively popular show. I liked it quite a bit. However, it really ended after the fourth season. The rest
a lot of shows are like that.
Yeah, after the fourth, I mean, the fourth season, 1 through 4 was out of this world, devastatingly wonderful. And I mean that to the fullest extent of that statement. Devastatingly wonderful. But after that, I started to lose interest a little bit.
This is where money gets in the way of a good story.
Right.
Because one of the key factors in a good story is it's got to end.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to keep chasing dollars through a storyline, you're going to end up with Charmed. You're going to end up with whatever they did to The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead's rough now, right?
The Fear the Walking Dead was horrific. Mm-hmm. That was that was the epilepsy trigger of zombie shows. I would watch it and I would rage twitch about 5 minutes in. The writing was terrible. And that's my problem. You're right. Dexter was a fantastic show. It has a cult following. People still dress up as Dexter for Halloween.
Absolutely.
There's probably some kind of weird sex club that has a lot to do with Saran wrap that I don't... Well, I wouldn't mind reading about it. I don't want to visit.
Yeah, I don't think I want to go there. I mean, the story about Dexter was you had a serial killer who used his appetite for good. He was a blood splatterer for the police, and basically those that slipped through the net of the police that absolutely were horrific.
There was no escaping the justice.
Dexter would go finish the job and figure it out for them. And then really the show is about him hiding that part of himself to the police department where
his girlfriend's creepy kid.
Right.
And you know what? Here's my prediction. This is what they're going to do. They're going to be real stupid. Dexter is going to get a sidekick.
Oh gosh.
It's going to be Batman and Robin of the homicidal maniac world.
That would be interesting.
Dexter is going to be training a protege.
Well, if you know, spoilers for those that haven't watched the show, but the show ends, you know, the last season ends with Dexter's sister passing away, Dexter freaking out, leaving his wife, for lack of a better term. I don't think they got married, but they were
long-term booty call.
And they had a kid, his kid, telling those two to go south and make a life for themselves and they'd be better off without me type of thing. Oh. And then he went up into the mountains and became a lumberjack and lived by himself. And that's sort of how it ends. And again, it didn't end very well. Had a very Sopranos type feel to the end where everyone's like, what the fuck? Like, come on, give me more about how this guy ends. He just goes and becomes a lumberjack.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. And that's
okay.
And that's okay.
That's my joke right there. If Eric were here, he'd tell me to shut the fuck up because I'm not funny.
You know what? I the Sopranos ending, as much of a letdown as a lot of people feel it was something that evoked a huge amount of emotion out of the fans.
It did.
So I'll give the Sopranos credit on that, but Dexter going off to be a lumberjack,
which is okay.
Which is okay. that's pretty stupid.
The last part about this is that Michael C. Hall, who plays Dexter, has always been fantastic. He's a weird dude. He's done a lot of weird things.
I liked him in Gamer.
Yeah, he's a weird, weird dude.
He kept sniffing his food. He's just, his mannerisms are hilarious.
He did I saw a video of him doing a play. He does a lot of plays. He's a thespian in the truest sense of the word. And he did a play that was done by David Bowie. And it was the weirdest damn thing I've ever seen. I mean,
it's because it was done by David Bowie.
And Michael C. Hall was perfect in that. So I think this is a great gambit and gamble for Showtime. I think if it has just a smidgen of the magic that the first four seasons had, it's going to be a hit. And I know I'm going to watch. Like, I'm a Dexter guy. I'm going to be interested. So
We'll see. They could really pooch this. My money's on pooching.
You can always screw it up.
My money's on the pooching here.
If there's anything I've learned, especially in PC culture, you can screw it up pretty good.
Absolutely.
Pretty good.
Oh, that, and this is also a huge indicator that nobody in the television and movie industry has any more original ideas.
Well, that's
this is nice. Constant regurgitation of the same old, same old.
Yeah, but to be fair, Dexter was an original idea that was different than a lot of other shows at that time. And, you know, I think more than anything else, there's a lot of copycats of the Dexter situation now. I mean, they're all over Netflix. There's a couple of them. That I've seen that I've been like, all right, you know, my wife has been like, hey, you should watch this one. It's going to be great. And I'm like, yeah, it's just
Dexter. Yeah, I don't want to watch this.
It's just Dexter. Yeah,
I get that a lot.
So, okay, well, moving on. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Hunter Biden left. It was actually 2019. He left his laptop at a laptop fixer store. And it got in the hands of the FBI, and then it got in the hands of Rudy Giuliani, and then it got in the hands of everybody. Now we all know that Hunter's got issues, but we didn't know how bad they were until this week.
Crack, lewd sex acts, and now they're teasing that they'll be putting out the video of Hunter Biden abusing female children.
We don't know that's where it's going.
Allegedly.
We don't know that's where... But what we do know with the crack... cocaine issue and the lewd sex acts with females, and the thing that's important here is, well, there's two things that are important. Number one, if all this stuff that Hunter Biden does, which is crazy and off the rails and horrible, could someone compromise possibly President Biden with this type of stuff and say, hey, pay me off or do X, Y, and Z, or else this stuff gets out in the open or something worse happens to your kid, that's a very serious possibility. And then the second thing is there's emails and stuff that say that Hunter's been helping launder money for dear old dad with Russians and Chinese and all good sorts times. Of weird stuff. So, John, what do you think about this?
I think
unbelievable
that-
stuff. You wouldn't believe it if it didn't happen.
Well, one of the reasons that Joe ran for president was to try to keep his family safe. And once again, Hunter fucked it up.
He is in some weird stuff.
I don't know what it is with Hunter Biden. This guy cannot control himself, and he lacks anything resembling discretion.
Oh, the list of shit that he's had his hand in. Allegedly to pretty true in terms of the facts that are on the ground. He's a terrible person. Like, he's just a terrible person. And the fact that Joe Biden, who is, you know, running for president, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen anything like this where it's been connected to a guy who's running.
We always joke about, you know, politicians and hookers and and the blow and the coke and just the seedy things that happen in Vegas. And here is Hunter Biden, the living trope. I mean, this guy is a meme factory unto himself at this point. This does, in my opinion, compromise the office potentially.
And here's the other thing too. I started this Empty Room podcast with the idea that the system being rigged or altered to point to just one side has really got me bothered. This is everything that we're learning about Joe Biden right now and about Hunter Biden and about the situation with gaining money for access with the Russians and the Chinese and doing horrible things with drugs and sex. And it's everything that the media and the left wanted out of the Trump.
Yeah.
You know, like they accuse what they're actually doing.
I think at this point,
and I think
if the Russians or the Chinese had dirt on Trump, they would have leveraged it by now. There is probably a really good chance that the Russians and the Chinese are sitting back saying, come on, Biden.
Oh, yeah.
They just want get the in dice. There. Because the second you get in there, we own you.
Roll
Why?
The dice.
Because we actually have the footage of Hunter Biden strangling hookers in the parking lot before he went in to buy an 8-ball.
Oh, my gosh.
With the mayor of Moscow's money.
Oh, I know. It's,
yeah, I mean,
it's insane. It's so absolutely insane.
If this is the stuff that's coming out in the American media, can you imagine what the Chinese and Russian intelligence agencies may have on the Bidens?
Who the hell knows? I mean, if there's another thing that's happened because of all this is that the FBI has lost all of its credibility, if it had any left. And
the FBI's new initials are fucking bunch of idiots.
Oh, they're just terrible. It's everything seems pointed at Donald Trump, and we're going to just totally forget all the other stuff that's happened. And I think it's just I'm sure you've listened to some of the other podcasts. One of the things I got my dander up on them was the whole idea after watching the first debate when Biden started talking about how manufacturing jobs were brought back under his watch. And I remember it clear as day. Obama and Biden, the administration, talking about how, you know, what, does Trump have a magic wand?
How's that he's going to wave, yeah.
I mean, it's just utter
bullshit. Y'all better get used to paying $5-6 for a gallon of gas. Dude,
it's just utter bullshit. And those of you that have been fans of this this podcast for 5 years, and I know there's not many of you out there, but if you had been, you would have known that for the first 3.5-4 years of this podcast life, I did not want to talk about politics. I wanted to be just like a nice, fun, humor, comedy-based podcast where we talked about the stuff that no one else talked about, and really it was all based on humor. And now we've turned into, hopefully, conservative comedy, and we do talk about politics, but it was forced because of the utter bullshit that's happening right now within the political system.
You can't, dude, look, man.
I can't take it.
The shit has hit the fan.
Yeah.
It really has. And everybody's going to get splattered. That's really what's happening. And your attempt to rise above the fray and provide some kind of alternate podcasting entertainment, you know, I'm sorry. Well, you got some spatter all over you. A little bit got in your mouth.
Yeah, and I'm not happy about it.
You're not happy about it, but guess what? You got to deal with it.
I guess okay. I do. And here we are.
So grab your wet naps. Let's try to clean this mess up and make sense of it.
Oh my gosh. And to my point, let's talk about those stupid town halls that happened this past week or so.
Oh God.
You know, you have NBC holds a town hall with Trump. ABC holds a town hall with Biden. ABC gives patty cake. Really easy questions to Biden, gives him cupcakes the entire time. Trump, meanwhile, goes on with Savannah Guthrie, and Savannah tries to tear him apart, and it's life and limb over there. And Trump, I thought, did well considering the shit that Savannah was trying to do.
Don't forget the TikTok teens.
Oh, but there it is. Trump gets his head bashed in, or the attempt anyway. And like I said, I thought Don did a nice job.
It was a street fight for Donald. And the problem is, Donald's a street fighter.
And he's good at it. Meanwhile, ABC played patty cake with Biden. Didn't even talk about Hunter. Didn't even talk about the scandals. Didn't even talk about anything he's going to do. When he said that, you know, packing the courts. I'm not going to tell you that after the election. I almost threw my hat at the fucking TV.
Right? Yeah.
I couldn't believe it because that's the same bullshit we heard with Pelosi when she was like,
pass it and then we'll tell you what's in it. It's like, what the crap?
I don't want to be here. I don't want to be talking politics. But those are the fucking things where we're lying so much now that we have to get involved. It's like you said, the splatter is everywhere, and now I got to fucking deal with it.
You know what?
I don't think I've said fuck that many times in the podcast in 4 years.
It's gotten bad. Ugh. It's got the political situation has gotten so bad that, once again, I'm going to point out, Trump isn't the problem. Trump isn't the solution. Trump is merely a symptom. Trump was people's way of flipping off the establishment, and it just so happened the guy was able to do good things with an economy. And he had a lot of positive effects on foreign affairs. He is ending wars. He hasn't started new wars. Historic Middle East peace agreements between Israel and Arab nations. But we didn't intend for Trump to do those things. Mm. We were letting a badger go in the barnyard. We were slamming the gate, flipping him off, and running like scared kids. But Trump has managed to eke out success. But the system has gotten so crappy. People are so jaded. Everybody, the counting heads phase is over. Everybody's in their camp.
Yeah, it's like what Tim Pool was talking about. We've discussed this before, where the Civil War is already here. Everyone's in their teams. Everyone knows what they're going to do. And I also saw another tweet the other day that I thought was very interesting. Going sort of counter to the Civil War idea, more of we're in an information war where the information is not getting down to the populace. There's so many people that despise the President of the United States right now because they think he is a horrible, sexist, misogynistic human being.
And when you look at all the people who are part of the walkaway movement, and when you listen to their stories, 90%+ of them have all said the same thing. They walked away from the Democrats. They turned to Donald Trump because they started doing their own research.
Right. And meanwhile, if you talk about someone who's truly horrible towards women, the stories around Biden are awful. If you're talking about the stories of Biden around children, they're awful. So, like, how can you turn and pivot and say Trump is the bad guy? Because he really, and they all goes back to the grab him by the pussy comment, which, quite frankly,
is taken out of context.
Number one,
but it was also a true statement.
Number two,
in full context.
And number three, was it crude? Yeah, but like, have you heard professional athletes talk about people? Have you heard
soldiers? Have you ever been in the barracks? Oh dear God! You know what?
That doesn't mean they're bad people.
They're part of the demographic. They're part of the country. They're part of our society.
It's just weird.
It is a dark humor. But it also has a lot of truth to it. And going back to these questions of civil war, I mean, yeah, even I've talked about it. I'm constantly pulling up all kinds of media, you know, alternative media mostly about it. But I had one of the weirdest conversations I've had in months the other day with some people I know who are very liberal leaning, but we're dropping our kids off for a play date. And I don't know if they understand where my politics lie, but they were talking about the homeschooling. They're talking about these weird schedules. And I'm talking about how crappy the homeschooling's been and all this other stuff. And then this kid's mom instantly jumps in. She's like, do you think we're going to have a civil war? It really feels like we're going to have a civil war. Should, you know, even we've been thinking about buying guns. And I'm just like, whoa, lady, you just went from zero to Armageddon in 3 seconds. Can we go back to talking about how terrible the school options are right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to get physical anytime soon.
You never know.
That's my gut
feeling.
It's
already physical.
Right, but I don't think it's going to get to they're coming down the streets and you got to be armed and ready to take care of business.
I'm
not there yet. I'm just not.
Personally, I don't. If it does come to that, everybody has their idea of what the second American Civil War will look like. I don't think it's going to be massed armies marching towards each other and destiny, meeting upon a field of battle where two generals will...
we're going to put it on Facebook that we have to meet at Gettysburg.
Yeah.
And we'll sort this out one time, and from there...
It's not going to be like that. It's going to be a bunch of factions popping up into weird places, taking pot shots at each other.
Yeah, let's hope it doesn't come to that.
I hope it doesn't.
I think if the president wins in re-election, it'll go a long way towards stamping down a lot of this stuff.
Because he's going to end up deputizing half the law enforcement
in the country.
We'll
see what he does. I mean, I was one of those people that clearly felt that during the riots in Portland and Seattle and whatnot, that one of the reasons he didn't really act was, number one, he wasn't asked. Number two, he believes in federalism. And number three, he has an election to deal with. Once the election's over, then he's going to handle to do what he wants to do.
And he didn't have a right to act. But what was one of the things he came out and said? He's like, we're standing by. Just ask. We're here.
All you got to do is talk to
but
us.
But the states do have an obligation to request help.
True.
Well, they're pretty quick to request help in a fire.
And a hurricane.
An earthquake, a hurricane, tornadoes. They're right there. Help us, help us, help us. We need help.
But that's the thing. It's strictly political.
When their political allies are in there burning down their own cities, destroying their infrastructure, destroying their economies. No, Trump's a bad guy for wanting to help. What a jackass. We can handle this. We're good. It's going to be a summer of love.
But that's part of the rig, man. And that's part of the things that I can't stand. And then, you know, just to pivot back, we had a debate canceled. And then we learned that the guy who was going to moderate the debate, Steve Scully, was a big-time Democrat. And actually, he had been in Biden's camp for a while, especially in the beginning. And then he lied about it and got found out and thrown off a C-SPAN. We're going to have one more debate, it looks like. And the lady who's going to debate that spent Christmas with the Obamas. So you can't tell me there's no...
Oh, God. Oh, no. It gets worse than that. Uh-huh. Her family... for years have been major donors to the DNC. I mean, like,
why can't we just have a fair straight shoot? Why can't we do that?
This, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and blame the Republicans on this one. If you're gonna have a moderator, why aren't the Democrats and the Republicans fighting it out to find the most neutral person whatsoever? Is there zero pushback from the Republicans?
I need to do some research on that. I need to know why that there's this commission, this election commission, and why do they get to make the decisions? I haven't really dove into that and really figured out why that
are
is.
Are they official or are they
I
some kind of...
No, it's an official thing, and I think that's the only reason that it's going this way. Now, I think the other thing, which is something that... most people don't consider, is that this has helped Trump.
In a lot of ways,
yeah, yes. When you sit down in a debate and people are watching from nation to nation, and the only people that are enjoying this situation and cheering the moderators on for being biased is the left-wing nut jobs. The rest of us are going, man, this isn't fair. And it actually creates sympathy for Mr. Trump because he's having to battle not only Biden, which... it's arguable he can stand on his own there, and the actual moderator. And I think there's
polling data to suggest you are correct. There's a lot of people who were kind of undecided voters, more the independent, who at the end of the day looked at it and said, President Trump was never given a chance to do the job.
Right.
And they're going to vote for him to try to give him that chance. And now, while it's not a huge number, it obviously, you're right, that message has been coming across.
And it just should be straight. I mean, that's how it should be. But let's, you know what?
Good luck getting somebody to just ask questions.
Right. I've had enough. Let's move on. Let's get off the politics because it's just going to make my blood boil. And, and that's not where I want to be right now. For them to ask you who you know. Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know. But Jeff Bezos, I didn't know this. Like, I knew Elon Musk and the Falcon project, you know, with the rockets and whatnot. I didn't know Jeff Bezos had his hand in the rockets as well. He has created his own rocket, and it's a reusable rocket, and it actually was reused for the 7th time, which beats Elon Musk's Falcon project rocket. And the race is to have a reusable rocket. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
If you can reuse the rocket, because right now when you send something up into space... whether it be the moon, whether it be low hanging orbit or whatever they call it. I'm sure I butchered that and I apologize, my NASA friends. When you send something up, it's $60 million to send something up. If you can have a reusable rocket that can be used over and over again, we can bring that level down to $60,000.
I think the whole thing's stupid.
And, I disagree. You got to be able to go to space. You got to get to the moon. I don't disagree
with that. I think this use of rockets is stupid.
Well, it's the only thing we can do. What else can we do that can
we send us into already space? Have proven methods, okay? So when
slingshots don't work anymore, John.
I have seen classic film reels of people shooting themselves from cannons to the moon.
I thought the Jackass crew sort of figured that out for everybody, that it doesn't work as well as you think.
You know, this pisses me off because you're sitting here, you're looking at, we need reusable rockets, 60 million, 60 billion, blah, 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 blah.
60,000, though, whatever. That's where you need to be.
Every single time we sent up a space shuttle and it came back safely and landed,
mm-hmm.
what did we do afterwards? Well, we picked it up with a crane, strapped it to a 747,
right.
and flew it back to wherever we wanted it.
And never used it again.
We used them several times. The space shuttles were reusable, okay?
Until they started killing people.
But we have already proven that we are capable of strapping a space-going vessel to an aircraft, flying it up into low Earth orbit, and then releasing it.
But we've had trouble with that. In fact, we've had major trouble with that.
While we have had major trouble with that, why was it worth just abandoning the idea?
Yes. And here's why. Because the costs were still skyrocketing on that stuff.
And how do you get costs down? You
reusable rockets. You've got to be able to reuse the rocket because the fuel isn't the issue. The fuel and the ignition and all that stuff is not the issue. That's a cost minimum compared to the actual fuselage of the rocket.
We have proven that since World War II, the world can make effective rocket. We have good rocketry, right? And it's only gotten better.
Right,
so you're telling me that we can't apply Henry Ford assembly line techniques to mass producing a rocket cheaply.
Not at this time. Can't be done.
Really?
Can't be done. Gotta be reusable.
It can't be done because there's some people who don't want to do it.
That could be factual too. I'm not going to argue with you there. But from the knowledge that I have obtained by watching many, 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 many episodes about space travel, because it is the number one way to get my 4-year-old to sleep, cannot be done at this time. Reusable is the way to go, and it's all about reusable so that you can just have a fuel cost as opposed to rebuilding the rocket every single
time. Well, if that's the case, then my take on the Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos race is Elon Musk is trying to do it all himself, and Jeff Bezos just hired the smartest people in the world.
Perhaps, although Elon Musk is quite smart in his own right.
I will never take anything away from him.
He is more tied into NASA than Bezos. So I was under the impression that Musk was the horse to bet on. But the fact that Bezos has a rocket that's been reused 7 times, which now has beaten the Falcon rocket, it's pretty interesting stuff to me.
Well, I'm sure Jeff Bezos is, you know, he's got some funding. He can send headhunters out to find the finest out-of-work Soviet rocket scientist.
Do you think that he's using it to drop, you know, packages to everyone?
This is for Amazon delivery.
So instead of going up to the moon, it's going low orbit and just dropping packages.
Here's what's going to happen. Elon Musk is going to have the rockets get all this stuff to the moon for the first moon base, and then here comes the Amazon rocket, and it's going to drop off a Cuisinart. Mr. Coffee or something.
Dude, coffee's going to be important on the moon
base. It's going to be important. No, Jeff Bezos just wants to make sure that Amazon can keep up with wherever we're going.
And then finally, in this already half-hour-long what's going on in the world today, Ice Cube. Ice Cube is now helping and advising the Trump campaign, which I found interesting. Now, Ice Cube is no friend of the conservatives.
No.
He's no friend of the liberals either. He's sort of his own entity, although he's been living on the liberal side for quite a while. The only reason I bring this up is that the way the person, Ice Cube, has described it was that he wanted to work on a specific project. He talked to both campaigns. The Biden campaign said, we'll deal with it after the election. And Trump said, we'll deal with it right now. What do you want to do? and he started working with him. Cube has come out and said he's not endorsing Trump, but he is impressed with the fact that Trump wanted to work with it right away, as opposed to waiting till after the election. For me, I saw a tweet after Ice Cube said about this that, you know, he wasn't black. Now, listen, man. To all of a sudden, after the man who was a part of NWA, who was a part of Ice Cube, you know, created his own persona and rap situation, and then went on to do all these things, for the liberals to come out and say that he isn't black because he now supports Trump, or not supports Trump, but at least working with him, is mind-blowing to me. Like, just
if the liberals came out and said Ice Cube isn't black 25 years ago, the uproar would be hilarious.
Oh, my God.
But you got to look at it. Like, Ice Cube, Ice-T, Dr. Dre, the three surviving members.
Team sports. It all comes down to team sports.
Eazy-E, obviously, you know, he passed away from the HIV.
Yep.
But when you look at Dre, Ice-T, and Ice Cube, they obviously, through hard work, talent,
fought
their way out of their ghettos.
Absolutely.
They don't live there anymore.
Nope.
They live in the nicest parts of the world. They are not facing the same issue. They have not faced ghetto issues in, what, 25, 30 years now?
No, but they still, I mean, they're...
They remember where they come from.
I think that's the thing. They want to lift up the communities of which they came
from. And I
agree
with that. And I think that's a wonderful thing. But we are not 10, 20, 15 years ago where attacking members of NWA for their views.
I just think it's a hell of a
based
world.
On color.
I just think it's a hell of a world we live in.
It is crazy. But right now, yes, you can go to Ice Cube and you say, well, you're just not black.
Yeah, which is just unbelievable.
It is. I think it's a sign of where we're coming from. And I got to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if Ice Cube secretly walks into the ballot box and says, motherfucking Trump.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you get at. If you insult enough people, they're going to turn.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we may now have the Ice Cube spite vote. That's what we're going to call it. The Ice Cube spite vote. No, to be able to do that for Joe Biden, an aging white racist who fought against integration of schools, to be able to look at a black YouTuber and say, if you don't want to vote for me, you're not black. And for him to not be canceled.
I couldn't believe it.
And they back him up.
And that's what comes back. It goes full circle, man. This is the rigging of an election. Rigging's probably, like you said, the wrong word. It's the bias, complete bias of one side.
Yeah, and just the information, setting it up to be able to cry foul later.
And the information war is what we're living in now.
But you have to look at it and say, oh, wow, Ice Cube, you're no longer black because you're rich and successful and you talked to the wrong person. That's very thought policing.
It's insane. It's insane. All right, let's move on. So it's time for the Pope Watch.
Yay, Pope Watch!
My buddy the Pope Francis. You know, the Pope Watch, we've had our troubles with the Pope Watch lately because there's been a lot of weird stuff going on, and quite frankly, I'm not a fan of the socialistic tendencies of Pope Francis, but...
It's the hat, man.
Well, you know, when you have the Vatican money behind you and you have the beautiful hat, it's hard to think we can't all get along and use the same amount of money, but... Let's talk about the Pope Watch. First thing he said in a tweet recently this week, use money spent on weapons for a global fund to defeat hunger.
Okay, whose money?
Well, that's the thing.
If it's the if it's the money that the Vatican spends on weapons to fight global hunger, I'm all for that.
Well, who gets the food? I mean, that's sort of where I'm at. Like, we're going to create this global fund. See, once we start talking globally and not nationwide, I start getting a little weird. whose money, who gets the food, who gets the redistribution. See, we're already at redistribution.
Well, I can tell you right now, nobody's actually going to get the food.
Right.
And it's going to be the Rothschilds who get the money.
It just bothers me that the Pope, when he was brought in, you started off with Benedict leaving, which in itself was an amazing thing, because no Pope had ever stepped down from office.
Yeah, usually you die in office with some dignity like the rest of
you
them.
Well, it turns out that one of the reasons Benedict left was that he was a more conservative guy, and he was getting a rash of shit from everywhere. And people were calling him Pope Palpatine, you know, because he looked like the bad guy from Star Wars. I liked that.
I've always admired the Empire and their level of organization. Yes.
So when Benedict stepped down and Francis got brought in, there was talk about, hey, be careful with this guy Francis. He's an Argentinian socialist, and you got to be. He's not really going to do economically what you would hope would happen. However, Eric and I, when we were doing the podcast back then, had hope. That, and it's been 4 years, because that's what started the Pope Watch. We were like, hey, we have this situation that has occurred that is amazing. And this new guy who's coming in has talked about reforming the church. And back then, we were still hearing a lot about the abusing of children. We were hearing a lot about the horribleness of where money went and what money was spent on and all that stuff. So there was hope that there was things. And Eric and I set up this list. We're like, all right, wouldn't it be great if he came in and said, one of the reasons we're having these issues is that priests aren't allowed to marry. Let's fix that. All right, hey, you're a man of cloth. You're allowed to have a wife. Let's do that. If you're a woman of cloth, you're allowed to have a husband if you want it. If you're a man, and then we started talking about the homosexual community. Why not? Who cares? Like, it's not a big deal. All right, if you're a man who wants to be with a man, God bless.
Man was made in the image of God.
You know,
and if you don't know how God likes to roll on a Friday night,
and women want to get with women, God bless. You know, stop. We had high hopes that these things would be taken care of, and it never really happened. You know, instead, the Pope wanted to do other things, and he's really into environmentalism, and he's really into socialism.
Well, then I think we should lock him and Greta Thunberg in a room for the next 4 years and let them decide what needs to happen to make the world a better place.
Greta Thunberg doesn't know her ass from a hole in the ground.
That's the point. Well, we just locked him in a room for a couple of years, and we don't have to deal with him anymore.
I suppose.
And we keep coming in and saying, you guys are doing great.
Yeah.
I just want you to know everybody loves what you guys are all about, you know?
What we learned is that he was big into environmentalism, he really loved socialism, and he loves pizza. That was the funny thing. When we learned that he was getting pizza, you know, brought to the Vatican, we were like, that's amazing.
Is that code?
Yeah, who knows?
Is that like a Wayfair cabinet?
I don't think so. I hope not. I really think he thought it'd be a cool idea to have Domino's deliver to the Vatican. I think that was...
You know, I got to be honest with you. I would really like to think that the Pope has better taste in pizza.
Sure.
Because Domino's is a rubber biscuit. It is disgusting.
But I think I think he has all companies deliver. I think Domino's, you know, Papa John's, I think... Pizza Hut, and then also the traditional Italian pizzas. I hope that he gets the traditionals to come as well. You know, the people that do real pizza.
Do you think when he orders Papa John's, Shaq brings it?
Maybe.
Because, I mean...
I just wonder if he orders Papa John's, which, again, up for debate. But if he did order Papa John's and they neglected or forgot to bring the garlic sauce, does he cuss?
Like, yeah. Son of a bitch!
Motherfuckers!
I excommunicate you, delivery boy!
I remember there was a story back in the years where... There was a driver for the Popemobile, and for some reason he stopped short, and the Pope Francis hit
smack
and had a bloody nose and all this shit. And Eric and I had talked about how there's a fantastic chance that he was excommunicated that day.
It was just
the worst possible thing. And again, I don't doubt, I suppose, that Pope Francis does believe that he's doing God's work and trying to be the best he could possibly be. However, I think there's a lot of things that are shady, and we'll talk about another story. There was a scandal with the Vatican as the, and the story is scandal with the Vatican as the Pope sorts finances. And again, comes back to that financial aspect where the Vatican and the Pope, there's tons of money there, tons and tons of money. It's its own empire.
Yeah.
And where does that money come from and what's it going towards? And apparently one of the reasons Francis got the gig, at least in the story, is he was going to be able to kind of sort through the finances and figure it all out, and that hasn't happened yet. So people are kind of going, all right, what's the holdup, dude? Let's get
there. You know, Scott, I'm going to be honest with you, and it's my fervent hope that this is true, but I think that for millennia, the church has been collecting its tithings from all around the world to fund its secret military organizations like the Warrior Nuns, who go off and fight demons and evil on behalf of all humanity clandestinely. And if that's the case, then the Pope has my full support.
So are you saying, right here, right now, that all those Warrior Nun movies that are on Netflix are true tales and finally have come down to the populace?
I feel like they're using them as cover stories to... Somebody comes out and says, oh my God, I just watched this nun behead this demon. They're like, dude, you're watching too much TV. You know, it's good cover. Let's hide this right out in the open. I hope that's what the church is doing.
I like it.
I'd like to think the good works are those, but...
So in another...
That much money,
yeah.
Trying to get food to all the needy people of the world.
I just wonder what he's doing. In my opinion, the Pope's job is to go around the world and bring Catholicism to the people. Be a person of hope. Be a person that can actually transcribe what's happening and what's supposed to happen. Be a person that can explain God's word to the people, and I just don't know.
Start in Islamic Europe.
Well, that's the thing.
Because I mean, how much ground has Christianity and Catholicism ceded to Islam?
And that's the thing. He's been a part of that, where it's kind of like, hey, we have to accept.
We have to accept all these people who are basically trying to murder the.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I don't know. So anyway, in another tweet, he talked
the religion of peace.
In another tweet, he talked about time for a global. Again, we're talking global pact on education. We need to train mature men and women. And I get it. I like the idea. I think education is the key to everything. But if we're in an information war, that's going to be very, very hard.
What's a socialist idea of mature men and women?
I don't know. Apparently the ones that put pink in their hair and run around and tell people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like the Pope is sitting here and consulting with the likes of Stefan Molyneux or... Jordan Peterson.
You know. I don't know. I think that's part of the problem with the Pope is that I don't think he consults with anybody.
Probably not. You know,
I think he's
got the bat phone to God.
Yeah, you know, and he prays and hopes. And, you know, I think even the cardinals really don't have much of a say, although I think that goes from Pope to Pope. I think John Paul was actually a guy that listened to his cardinals quite a bit, and that's why he was...
It's probably one of the reasons he was so successful.
There was a quest. I think that's the other thing, too. What's the phrase? Idle hands, the devil's playground? Yeah, you know.
Well, you also have to look at Pope John Paul. Yeah. We're talking about a man who spoke, what, 19 languages?
Yeah. But I think John Paul had a quest. Like, you had this terrible thing happening, communism in Soviet Union, and you had the Cold War where nukes and the world was in danger. So he and Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan and you know all these people got together and said, we got to stop this. We got to figure this out.
They fought for it.
Yeah, so there was a quest for them. I don't think there's a quest for Pope Francis. Like, he's kind of looking around going, I don't know. Like,
Pope Francis, social justice warrior.
He's his SJW because there's nothing else to do.
He's going to come out with come out with purple hair and a Molotov cocktail.
That's so terrible. But
when's the last time a Pope came to America? Was it John Paul?
I don't know. I think that's a great question.
And I'm not talking about the Family Guy episode.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. I have to look that up. But the last thing, which gives me hope, and really it's just my opinion... I know other people have different opinions, but I'm a pro-life guy. And the Vatican tells the UN, hey, reminds the UN, there is no right to abortion.
And the UN canceled.
Well, I don't know. The UN's response was just sort of nothing. But the fact that the Vatican and Pope Francis said, hey, wait a minute, listen, guys, you don't really have that right, was very interesting to me, especially if you consider the fact that Pope Francis is considered pretty left-leaning. And for him to be like, hey, you're not really supposed to be doing that. You know, remember, it doesn't mean that he condemned it either. He just said, hey, remember.
You think maybe he said just enough to make the appropriate people in the church happy?
Well, sure.
Just get him off. Get off my back. I want to go save
the world
with Greta.
I'm going to hope that he had higher aspirations, that he wanted to remind everybody, and I'm in this camp, that every life matters. Every single life has value. Every single life has promise and could lead to great things. I mean, it's one of the reasons I stand in the pro-life department. I know there's many, 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 many people that disagree with me and choose the other side, and I understand that too, but this is the side I think is right. So,
and you would think that the Pope would have a much stronger stance, and I mean, publicly. Like, yeah, I'm sorry, this is one of the tenets of the, you know, kind of one of the tenets of the faith, sort of.
Mm.
It's something that's been discussed for, what, 60 years now? To some degree or another, for the Pope to kind of softball that denunciation to the UN instead of coming, John Paul would have been like, no.
Just don't do it, all just right? Just don't do it.
Stop it.
Stop it right now. Newspaper on nose, you know.
Yeah, something like that. And I think, you know, Pope Francis is just like, I think he kind of softballed it, but once again, probably wanting to play the popularity contest.
And that's, you know.
And it's, you know, it's okay to have a difference of opinion, but for Christ's sake, if you're going to stand on a platform, fucking stand there like you own it.
Well, if you're the leader of the church
for
the entire world, and you can't go against your doctrine, you're like, you gotta really go for it. So in that aspect, I think Francis has been more of a public celebrity more than he's been the actual Pope.
That's the thing. It's like he's just another one of these Twitter idiots who wants likes and tweets and happiness. He just wants to feel good about himself.
Well, that or
instead of turning around and doing something that would actually reform the church, like maybe start the public conversation for whether or not members of the clergy should be able to wed.
And
maybe start actually punishing those who take advantage of their position and abuse children.
Yeah, I mean,
but no, you're going to go talk to the UN about something. The most feckless, useless group of idiots who, the second America says, you know what, why don't you guys just go home?
Yeah, the bar.
The UN's done.
The bar scene from Star Wars is how it was described by Jim Quinn, and I thought that was
appropriate. Yeah, I mean, you're just.
So anyway, that's the Pope Watch.
Yay.
Kind of bummed. But that's sort of how our Pope watches end lately. Get with this. So, thus ends part one of the Empty Room Podcast, episode 48. John and I didn't expect to talk as long as we did, but...
I'm full of hot air.
When we start going, we start going. And, of course, I let the political fallout and winds affect my mood. And
I will generally try to drag a political conversation out as long as I can.
So feel free to check us out at theemptyroompodcast.com. And if you'd like to provide some content or something for myself and whoever my guest is, whether it's John, Eric, Ed, or whoever I go with, feel free to email us at emptyroompodcast@gmail.com. And hopefully we can provide you with some more content on your drive to work or during your working hours. Because that's sort of how I always viewed this podcast, was something to put on in the background. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, and then John's trying to get me to put stuff on YouTube again, so I guess I will.
Yay! Just in time to get censored!
Yeah, have a good week, everybody, and we'll see you in part two, coming up at the end of the week.